It's All Things Considered on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Neil Charnoff. Journalist Lynn Darling knows the concept of loss. She was 44 when her husband died. When she was 56, she experienced empty nest syndrome when her only child left for college. Feeling lost and unmoored, Darling left her home in New York City and bought a ramshackle end-of-the-road house off the grid in Woodstock, Vermont. Over the next 4 years, Darling battled loneliness, geographic confusion, and a what-could-possibly-happen-next bout with breast cancer. Darling recounts those years with surprising good humor in her new memoir, Out of the Woods. Lynn Darling has since returned to New York and joins us now to talk about the book. Welcome.
Thank you.
Lynn, there's a certain romantic and exotic notion in the idea of ditching city life for the woods of Vermont. You know, Henry David Thoreau and Virginia Woolf had their own adventures. And I'm wondering, was that part of what drove you?
I think now that it probably was. I was a total sucker for those kinds of stories. And ever since I'd first discovered Vermont, when I used to go in summers while my daughter was in summer camp to work and just hike, I fell in love with this myth of the solitary writer, the sort of the regal anchorite, totally self-composed, thinking her thoughts in the middle of sylvan beauty. And it didn't seem like that big a deal to leave New York and go off and live in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a Labrador puppy, but I was, of course, convinced otherwise after I'd been there for a while.
So why Vermont and why that house?
Vermont because two things, really. My father was a New Hampshire lad. He'd grown up in a tiny little town called Webster, and we used to go back there in the summer. For me, it was pretty much one of the few anchors I had as a childhood was New England. But also, I had found Woodstock when my stepdaughter got married. I fell totally in love with the little village and the beauty of the place. And the next summer, when my daughter went off to summer camp for the first time but wanted me relatively close by, I rented a house there for a few weeks. And I liked it because I wasn't any of the things I had to be anywhere else. I wasn't a widow. I wasn't a mother. I had no history. I could invent myself all over again. That was part of it. The house appealed to me partly because it was in as raw and unfinished a state as I was when I got there. I mean, the practical reason was it was in such a mess that it was affordable. But more than that, I think there was a way in which I perversely loved the isolation and the ricketiness and all the things that needed to be done to it. It matched my mood perfectly.
I'd like to ask you to read a brief excerpt from the book. This appears pretty early on page 5, and you're talking about the state of mind you were in when your daughter left for school and that sense of being unmoored. Would you read that for us?
I'd be very happy to. What had happened was this. I fell out of my own map. It's an easy thing to do, especially in middle age, but really it can happen at any time. We all live by different lights, success for some, desire for others, and take our bearings along different dreams. Some of us fly west with the night, into the unknown, urged on by adventure. Others look only for the harbor lights and stay safely in sight of home. But whichever way we choose, we come to rely on the sameness of our days, on the fact that for years at a time, the road ahead looks much like the road behind, the horizon clear, the obstacles negotiable. And yet, from time to time, we stumble into wilderness. It can happen to anyone at any age. The graduate putting away the cap and gown. The 55-year-old rereading the layoff notice. The wife staring at the empty side of the still warm bed. Now what, they whisper as they look ahead to a place where the landmarks disappear and the maps read only Terra Incognita.
You know, I really find your writing consistently lovely throughout the book. And I just love that phrase, I fell out of my own map. Could you talk a little bit about that notion of maps and geography and getting lost and how that fits in the theme of this book?
Well, when I first decided to move to Vermont, I told myself that the reason was very logical. I'm one of those people who gets lost in parking lots. I cursed the fact that I had no sense of direction. And as I got older, it began to worry me a little bit. It's one thing to be sort of feckless and impromptu when you're young, but when you're older, you really do need to have a plan. You need to know where you're going. So I thought, well, I'll go to Vermont and I'll walk in the woods and I'll figure out life. I didn't mean to see it as a metaphor, but finding my way in the woods quite quickly became a roadmap for finding my way in life. They required much of the same tools, one of which was really knowing how to look around you, stay in the present, and to really see what's there, not what your imagination tells you, what geographers and people call mental maps, which are often wildly at variance with physical reality. And that was pretty much my brain at the time, wildly at variance with physical reality.
You recount the challenges when you first arrived and had to make your way in this strange house with all these chores. Was there a moment when you looked around and said, you know what, I like it here?
There was. It came much later in the day than I would have expected. In the beginning, every time something went wrong, I would talk to someone about what to do about it. For instance, when I couldn't seem to get any heat or light in the house because I hadn't figured out the solar panels or the generator, I had a young man come and teach me how to use all of these things. And at the end of it, he said, you know, I think what you're doing is very brave. And then I went to the hardware store to find something to keep the wildly growing grass in my yard under control and ended up buying this barbaric-looking scythe. And one of the salespeople said, wow, living all alone in the woods, that's very brave. So I thought, wow, I wonder why they think so. And I asked a friend of mine, Lynn Bertram, who lives in Woodstock, why all these people were telling me I was brave. And she said, oh, don't worry. In Vermont, brave is polite for crazy. And that is how I felt for the first few months. But after a while, I began to realize I had rather surrendered to the tranquility and the beauty of the place. And there was some day I had to trudge through the snow to get milk at a grocery store a million miles away. And I realized at that moment, I would prefer to do that than go to the corner store in the deli in New York. And that's when I began to realize I was starting to feel at home.
Looking back on your time in Vermont, what surprised you most about the whole experience?
What surprised me most was how little we know about ourselves when we make enormous decisions. I mean, if I'd been on ecstasy when I decided to pick up and leave New York and move to Vermont without any idea of what I was doing, it would have made sense. But I didn't. It was more of an instinctive drive, like an animal going to its burrow or something. I just knew I needed to do it. I think what surprises me most was how much you can learn having done something like that by learning how to trust your instincts, which ones are real and which ones weren't. I came out of it, I think, a very different person, but mostly because I figured out in that silence, in those woods, in that beauty, how little what I thought really mattered. And so much of life, I think, is learning how to get out of your own way. That's what growing up is. And that's what surprised me, was how much time I spent thinking about myself that could have been better spent out there in the world. And that's what I wanted to get back to.
Well, Lynn Darling, I think Out of the Woods is just a wonderful book, and we thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Neil. I appreciate it.
Lynn Darling is the author of Out of the Woods, a memoir of wayfinding. Darling will be appearing at the Norwich Bookstore Wednesday night at 7. For more information, go to vpr.net.